Jesus, we want to pray that your word will go out in an amazing way, that you will speak to our hearts, our minds, you will speak to our wills, and that we'll see great change happen through your Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Jesus, we want to hear you. We want to see your work. We want to see your outworking through us. And I pray that that change will happen today through your Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, Long Jetty. Great to be with you again. I was saying something to someone the other day. It's almost June. What happened to April or even May? Feels like we've lost part of the year. Crazy times, weird times. But what have we learned out of these times? I think one of the things we've learned is the value of a relationship, the value of connection. Not being able to connect with people in the same way has left some of us feeling possibly a bit lonely. Been a great opportunity for loneliness to come in on top of us in this season. And it's been hard to stay connected and feel connected. But you know what's worse, I think, than being lonely when you're alone? Is being lonely when you're in a room full of people. It's got to be one of the worst feelings. This morning I want to talk about connection. And I want to talk about how God does connection, how God has shown us how to do connection. If you're going to learn how to connect with people, and you know, sometimes connection's hard. It's hard to establish, it's hard to maintain. Let's go to the master of connection. And let's see how he has connected with us, with the world. And let's follow his example to continue to connect with him better and connect with each other, no matter what circumstances may be going on. My first point this morning is God initiates connection. God takes the initiative when it comes to connection. And we see this in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God took the initiative. The first thing he does is take the initiative. You could say that he says hi first. You're one of those people? Maybe not. Maybe you wait for people to engage you. But God's not. He says hello first and waits for our response. He puts his hand out to shake our hand first. He opens his arms for a hug first. We want to be those kind of people that say hi first. Take that risk and follow his example. You may have heard the saying, to have a friend, you need to be a friend. Well, no one's exampled that as well as our Heavenly Father. Long before I responded to him, actually more than 2,000 years ago, he took the initiative. Not only did he demonstrate his desire for connection through the cross 2,000 years ago, but he continues to reach out to us through out our lives in all kinds of ways. And one of the ways God reaches out to us before we've even met him, before we even know him, before we even know what he looks like or feels like, is through people. Some of my favourite memories, even before I was a Christian, I have memories of my Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Strong. Now, I would have been before five. I think I gave my heart to Jesus. I met him and gave my heart to him when I was nine. This would have been pre-five. I remember the love of Jesus flowing through Mrs. Strong, my Sunday school teacher. She just made me feel loved. She made me feel valued. She made me feel how God makes me feel before I even met him. There was God reaching out to me, taking the initiative to connect with me long before I even knew who he was. And I have other great memories of that, how God reached. I look back and see how God was reaching out to me through my mum and dad, through aunties and uncles and grandparents and people in the church reaching out to show me his love. Before I even knew him, he took the initiative. What an amazing God. What a great example to follow. When God has reached out to me and I have experienced his love and connection, then I'm motivated to follow his example and reach out to others. I know there's a risk. Jesus knew there was a risk. But in following Jesus, we follow his example. He was a risk taker. And we reach out first and we initiate connection. God initiates connection, and with his help, we can initiate connection too. Secondly, this morning, God connects through entering our world. How does he connect? Sure, he initiates, but how does he go about it? I think this is a key to connection. And God shows us that key. He entered our world. He came before he expected us to enter his world. He entered our world. My second point there is God connects through entering our world. Luke 10:19-10 is my verse. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Hey, I think it's amazing that God came looking for me when I was lost. Who enjoys being missed? Hey, isn't it terrible when people don't miss you? You go, oh, well, great. I mustn't have had much influence there. No one's missed me. But when we're missed, someone comes looking for us. Man, do we feel valued, included, that we belong? Well, that's God wants us in his kingdom. So he came looking for us when we were lost. Isn't that amazing? And he did that by entering our world. He came looking for me, he came looking for you. God enters our world. He takes an interest in what we are interested in. Don't you love it when people take an interest in what we are interested in? He doesn't just expect us to enter his world. He starts by entering ours. Jesus came into our world first before he invited us into his. If we want to build connection, if we want to follow his example, then we need to take an interest in what other people are interested in. I'm sure you're aware that there's a difference between talking to someone and talking at someone. Maybe it's easier to identify when someone's either talking with you or talking at you. It took me a few years to work out that why some conversations you leave them and you're refreshed and you're energized, and then other conversations you leave and you need a sleep, you need a nap, they're exhausting. And one guy exampled this beautifully for me a number of years ago. No one here, of course. But a number of years ago, I remember having this conversation with this gentleman and a light bulb came on for me. And you know, you have a conversation and he was saying, he'd have his say and I'd have my say and then he'd have his say. And he would go on talking about what he was talking about before I'd opened my mouth. As like as if I hadn't said anything. It was kind of like a one-way, it may have been a monologue. I may as well as not have been there. There was no connection. He wasn't hearing me. He wasn't entering my world. I was trying to enter his, but he wouldn't enter mine. He wouldn't hear me. He wouldn't have that flow on of conversation. And you know what I think sad about examples like that is that man would have left feeling disconnected too. Probably went looking for more connection and tried to talk harder to find more connection. It doesn't work. We don't talk harder. We listen harder. We lean in. We enter another person's world, just like God did for us. He came and he didn't keep preaching at us and talking at us. He came and entered our world. He came alongside. That's how we connect with people. If you're struggling to connect with people, hey, how about slow down the talking and start the listening and start entering people's world and ask them questions about themselves. That's the kind of God is. And they're the kind of people we want to be. Jesus took an interest in our day-to-day lives. He came, the Bible says, and dwelled among us. He came and hung out with us for 33 years. That's entering someone's world, isn't it? See what it's like. See what we're experiencing. You can't say God doesn't care. He's aloof. He's distant. He came and entered our world for 33 years and walked among us, dwelt with us, lived like we lived. And so too, to connect with each other, we need to enter each other's world, take an interest in each other. What a great example God set for us. And thirdly, this morning, God responds to our attempts at connection. Isn't that good? Sometimes our attempts at connection aren't great, hey? Isn't it great when you're with someone who's great at connecting, you make this feeble attempt at connection, they just pick up on it, and before you know it, there's a connection. Well, that's what God's like. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Isn't that great? We draw near, and he'll draw near. NLT version, New Living Translation says, come close. I love that. Come close to God and he will come close to you. Have you ever reached out to someone and been ignored? That's awkward, isn't it? And hurtful. But the good news is about God is he's not like that. When we reach out to him, he does respond. Now, I know sometimes it doesn't feel like it. We don't kind of sense, we might not hear anything or feel anything. But you know what? His word tells us that he hears our cries. He hears our prayers. That he'll never leave us or forsake us. So through his word, we can believe that he is with us. His eye is on the sparrow. Well, his eye is on us as well. And so he hears us. He sees us. He's with us. And we can believe that. That he, when we draw closer to him, we take a step towards him. He's taken a step, I reckon, two steps towards us for every step of ours towards him. When someone reaches out to us in out to us, connection is not made unless we respond. If someone says hi, in awkward, when you wave to someone and they don't wave back, it's all right if you're driving past, you can get out of there quickly. But if you say hello and it's okay if they don't know you, I've done that before. I've saw someone across the street, thought I knew them, ah! And then wondered why they didn't respond. I looked closer, didn't know them, never met them before, wasn't who I thought it was. Well, that's one thing, but to say, to reach out to someone who knows you, to reach out to someone who you think would respond and they don't, that can be hurtful. So when people reach out to us, we want to respond. We want to be like God. We want to hear them and make some response and show them that we've heard them, show them that we're with them. I love, like I said, how the NLT version says, come close. James encourages us that if we come close to God, he will come close to us. Well, you know, one of the highlights of online church for me has been watching you guys chatting to each other during the service. You guys probably chatting to each other right now while I'm preaching. And you know what? I love that because it's about connection. That's why we do church. Longevity's mission statement, love God, love people. What does that look like? That looks like relationship. That looks like connection. You know, when we first did online church, and I saw people get online, start chatting to each other. I said, this is why we're doing this. It's not about a service. It's about providing a space for connection. Well done, Longevity. Well done for everyone who's joining with us and connecting in. Have a chat together and feel that connection. That is what God created us for, to connect with him and to connect with each other. Well done. And finally, God's connection is always authentic. Man, isn't that refreshing? That makes me feel safe, that his connection. You ever had an inauthentic connection? You said, oh, well, this relationship was going well, tracking good, and then you find out that it wasn't tracking so great at all. It was only one way. Nothing was coming back the other way. And we're left kind of going, whoa, what was that? Well, you know what? The Bible says, our fourth point on the screen, that God's connection is always authentic. How do we know that? Well, John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I've referred to that before, but it goes on to say, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace. What is that? That's authenticity. Let me unpack it a little bit more. Full of grace and truth. Now, this can be a tough one, and we need to keep working at it. I find it easier to give grace than truth. I don't know about you. And, you know, the Bible says to be gracious, to overlook an offence. However, if our relationships only have grace and no truth, or if they're out of balance with too much grace and not enough truth, then we have to challenge the authenticness, how authentic our relationships are. And now I'm not only talking about us being honest and truthful, but welcoming the honest of others, inviting their honest feedback. You know, Jesus did that. I love how Jesus exampled this. He said to his disciples, his closest friends, he got real vulnerable. He said, who do people say that I am? He asked for honest feedback. Then he got even more vulnerable. He said, who do you say that I am? He was creating a space for authenticity and honesty. I mean, I believe that's where Peter gave his heart to Jesus. That's where he had his revelation, his full revelation of who Jesus was in that moment when he could respond to Jesus, inviting that honesty and vulnerability. Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a powerful moment of connection and vulnerability through inviting truth into that space. The other place we see that is John chapter 6. And sadly, not everyone comes to us for authentic relationship. And the same happened to Jesus. You may know the story where Jesus fed the 5,000 loaves and fishes. They all had a good feed. A miracle happened. It was amazing. Jesus went away and had the solitude he was looking for. And then the crowds caught up with him. And Jesus called them out on that very quickly. Really interesting. He says this in John 6:26. He said, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. You're saying, you were not even that fascinated by the miracle. You just wanted another free feed. Wow. And then as he went on, we see that Jesus' discernment was on the money because he started to teach truth. I am the bread of life. He says, you know, you can have another sandwich, but that's only going to satisfy you for half an hour, my translation. But he said, if you eat of me, the bread of life, and they go, what are you talking about? And they started to leave. The Bible tells us that many left that day and stopped following Jesus. Wow, because they didn't want an authentic relationship. And so when we bring truth, it tests the authenticity of our relationships. Another example that Jesus gave us was the woman caught in adultery. A beautiful balance of grace and truth. I mean, with the loaves and fish, grace was, he gave them a free lunch. There's grace. But he said, I am the bread of life. You need to come and believe in me. There's truth. But with a woman caught in adultery, the religious guys of the day wanted to condemn her and trap Jesus. And Jesus said to them, hey, whoever of you guys are without sin, you can throw the first stone. Well, you know, if you know the story, the old guys left first. Interesting. And then Jesus says this to the lady, when they'd all gone, all the guys had left, and he says to this woman, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she replies, no one, sir. And he said, no, then neither do I condemn you. Neither do I condemn. There's grace. But we sometimes, I think, leave the end of the story off because it says, go now and leave your life of sin. There's truth. Grace, neither do I condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. There's truth. You know what? And if we don't bring, if Jesus hadn't brought truth to that lady that day, she could have gone back into her life and sin and been in a bigger mess than she was in the first place. Jesus loved her too much to withhold the truth. As you really read in 1 Corinthians 13, that love and truth have to go together. If you say you love me, then it means you're going to be honest with me. If I say I love you, it means I'm going to be honest with you. Not just show you grace, and we need to show grace, but to show truth as well. It's a balance of grace and truth that brings authenticity to our relationships. And God wants an authentic relationship with us, and he wants us to have authentic relationships with each other. So how's your connections going? Hopefully okay in this season. It's been a bit tougher. Because about God's love, he experienced it through connection with Jesus, and we can too. You know, I want to ask you this morning, how are your connections going? You too can experience a connection with Jesus. He loves you, he has, and he is reaching out to you, possibly through people you maybe haven't recognized it yet. And when you respond, he will too. And he's not fake. He's not out to get something from us. He's just out for genuine relationship. And if that's what you're missing today, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I need you and I believe in you. I receive your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and for giving me life and eternity. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. If you prayed this prayer, please let us know so that we can support you in your first steps of this new relationship with Jesus. When we have a relationship with Jesus, it sets us up for healthy relationships with others. Hey, bless you guys. I encourage you to keep connecting with Jesus, letting him connect with you, and keep connecting with each other. Have a great day.